Jesus Christ will soon return to sit on the throne of the earth. Where is that throne right now? Learn how its identity has recently changed and how this truth will change the universe. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. For about 70 years, Herbert W. Armstrong and the Philadelphia Church of God today has been proclaiming that the throne of David is in London, England. That's explained in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. But in January 2017, that all changed. That throne is no longer in Britain or England, and yet God says so many exciting things about this that I can tell you this is the most exciting new revelation, single new revelation that God has ever given this church. We have a booklet on the new throne of David, and I think it will inspire you as none of our booklets ever have, more than any single booklet. This is an explosive and a wonderful understanding that you can prove is right there in your Bible. It has to happen because that's the way God promised it would happen. And of course, we'll send you that booklet and offer it to you at the end of the program and give it to you free. All of our literature is free. But I want to give you a few of the highlights and prove to you what I'm talking about. And of course, the booklet will add to that a great deal. But we're living in a world of nuclear bombs and all kinds of weapons of mass destruction. And God says He's going to hasten His words and His work. He's going to hasten it. There's more urgency now because of this new throne. And it transitions into the very second coming of Jesus Christ. This is the last phase, and you can prove that as well. This throne, this new throne, and David's throne always has unified people. It unifies this church. It unifies, or is going to unify, the entire world. It's going to unify everybody. There is a new throne that's prophesied to be on this earth in the latter days, and that is the time that we're living in right now. And it's a monumental hope for this world, no matter what happens as far as man is ruling over man. There is the best news you could possibly hear, and of course it's called the gospel. But this truth can galvanize your life and fill you with joy and hope as nothing else can. And I'm not just saying that, this is not a fantasy. You can do that and it will work in your life. Notice what God said in the New Testament, Luke 1, verses 30 through 33. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, or the Son of the Father. And the eternal God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He's going to give him the throne of his father David, which is on this earth. It's always been on this earth. From the time of King David, verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, this is the Father has given this to Christ, and all of those that help get this work done, or God's work done, before the second coming of Jesus Christ, is going to be the bride of Jesus Christ and share that throne with Him forever. And it's all, as I said, transitioning into the second coming. It's connected directly to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is not going to return to a non-existent throne. There has to be a throne. Where is it and what is it? It has to be there, or God's word is untrue. And here's a prophecy that says it's going to be here when Jesus Christ gets here. Notice in 2 Samuel, I'll give you a little background here. This is 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12. It says, "And when your days be fulfilled," talking to David, "and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." That's the throne of David. Isaiah 9 and verse 7 says this government and the peace of God is going to increase forever, coming from the throne of David. It's going to go on forever and keep increasing forever out into the universe. Now that's easy to prove. There are several other prophecies that tell you the same thing. But all of this revolves around the Father, and he's the Father, and he's begetting sons. But Jesus Christ is the firstborn of many brethren. Then Jeremiah 33 and verse 17, I'll read that to you. "For thus says the eternal David, shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel." So God says there's always going to be a man or a woman there sitting on that throne. A member of the humankind is going to do that. And Jeremiah wrote this prophecy when Judah was being destroyed. They were being destroyed, and he was about to take that throne and remove it from Judah to a nation in Israel. The house of Israel, that's what it's talking about in that verse. And that first overturn from Judah went to Ireland. And there's a lot of history about Jeremiah in Ireland, even in the secular history of ancient Ireland. And you can also prove that to you. We have written quite a lot about that ourselves. Notice Hosea 3 and verse 4. Now again, this is prophecy for the end time. And notice what it says. "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, or the stone of destiny." Now we prove that to you in our booklet on Hosea, and you can write for that, and we'll prove it to you. But here it says that throne in Britain is going to end. It's going to be the last overturn. The first overturn was to Ireland, the second one to Scotland, and the third one to England. And then what? Well, if there are only three overturns, then that means there has to be a new throne. And I'll show you that in a moment. Verse 5, "Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the eternal their God, and David their king." David's going to rule over the tribes of Israel, or the nations of Israel, "and shall fear the eternal and his goodness in the latter days." You see, this is all in the latter days. Now all of this is happening right now, and God says, now I'm going to hasten all of this. I'm going to hasten it and hasten my word and hasten my work because of the terrible things that are happening in this world. And it even goes on to say that if Christ didn't return, there would be no flesh saved alive. You can read that in Matthew 24 verses 21 and 22. In the Moffat translation. But he's hastening his word. We're in the gun lap of a relay race. This is the last phase. And this new throne is transitioning directly into the second coming of Jesus Christ. You could say in a way it's like the introductory stage to the second coming of Christ. That you can prove, and you need to prove it. We all must prove that. Notice Ezekiel 21, verses 26 and 27. "Thus says the eternal God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high." and overturn and overturn and overturn. He's talking about the throne of David and a different a group of Jews will be ruling it when it is overturned. God says, I will overturn, overturn, and overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. Now there's, if you notice that, let me just read this to you. Here's a quote, and then Mr. Armstrong has some words here. This passage is about David's throne and the stone. As Mr. Armstrong wrote in the United States and Britain in Prophecy, remove the diadem and take off the crown refers to King Zedekiah's death in Babylon. This shall not be the same means a change was to take place. God abased the house of Judah and exalted the house of Israel. Took it from Judah to a nation in Israel, Ireland, then to another nation in Israel, Scotland, and then to another nation in Israel, England. And there's no fourth overturn. What does that tell you? And then Hosea tells us, well, that king and that image, that where it says image, that's actually referring to the very the throne of David. And that stone of destiny that really is a symbol of the whole throne and of Jesus Christ himself. And yet, there's going to be a third overturn, and that's it. And yet it says that that last overturn is going to lose that stone in that throne. So where does it go? Where does God place it next? There's no overturn of that one, which means that one comes to an end. I'll show you more on that in a moment. You can see Jeremiah 1 in verse 3. You can see this is all one vision. It carries right on from Zedekiah's reign into the time when Jeremiah went to Ireland. Notice verse 10, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over kingdoms and to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and throw down, to build, and to plant. Here is his commission. And he is to build and to plant into nations and kingdoms. Now let me read you a little excerpt from our booklet on the new throne of David. It says, the Farrar Fenton translation reads, see, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms to pull up and to break down and to destroy and to erase. Well now, erase what? Erase that old throne and that old stone, which was a symbol of the throne of David, but not anymore. And it goes on to say, as well as to build and plant, that is worded very simply. Pull up, break down, destroy. These are the three overturns. Then what happens? Then the throne is erased. Well now, this is before Christ returns, so where is the throne? Well, there is a new throne, and you can prove that to yourself and really need to prove it. God is alive, and he made a promise to David that that throne would be there forever. Not only in this world, but even in the world to come. It's going to be there forever. And he says that but that throne, that old throne, will be erased. And if that is the case, then there has to be a new throne. Where is it, and what is it? Now that Jeremiah 1 and verse 10 spans the whole history of Jeremiah's commission. This is what we wrote in the booklet. It describes the whole history of that throne, something we have not understood in the past. If you look at this verse as the entire history, then there must be a new throne. The question is, where is the new throne? Where will it be built and planted? Where is it going to be? And then notice what God says in verse 11, moreover, the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, well, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Eternal unto me, you have seen well, or well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Here again, God is telling us he's going to hasten his word and he's going to perform it. And he says, I will hasten it, not men. It's not going to be men that do this. God says, I will do that. I will hasten my words and my work on that new throne of David. You'll see that's what it's leading into. So the work is going to move forward in a much faster speed. You can see where he asked Jeremiah, what do you see? And he goes on to say, well, I see a seething pot that's about to spill over and in Israel. And he's really talking about nuclear warfare. And that is something that we need to be aware of and need to be certain. We better be certain that we're giving our whole being to God to avoid such a catastrophe. And God says he will protect his people wherever they are, if they're loyal to him. Verse 4, I just wanted to read that to you to show this is all one vision. Then the word of the Eternal came unto me saying, moreover, the word of the Eternal came unto me saying, that shows it's all one vision. That's what it says in verse 4, and that's what it says in verse 11. It's all one vision. Verse 12 says, in the Farrar Fenton translation, when the ever-living answered me, attend to what you see, for I am watchful over my promises to perform them. If God makes promises, he says, I watch over it and I perform them without any of them failing. He says he does that, promises that he will do it. And one of those promises was, of course, to David, that he would perpetuate this throne forever. Now, this is a big change here. I want to show you what I mean. Christ is taking this into his own hands and handling it himself. And he's going to plant a new throne. Notice what it says in Jeremiah 1 and verse 11. Jeremiah, what do you see? God asked Jeremiah. Jeremiah responds, I see a branch of an almond tree. From the Farrar Fenton translation, Jeremiah saw a branch attached to a tree that was budding and blossoming and producing almonds. It goes on to say that in the following verses. And it's really quite interesting. Now, you see, before it had a branch that was not producing blossoms and almonds, wasn't budding, wasn't doing anything like that. And that's referring to that old throne. It was not in the hands of God's own church. There was a lot of degeneration going on around that throne, as there is in all of Israel. And that's what God warns us about. But then he says that then there's going to be a branch of a tree, that tree being the throne of David. There's going to be a branch from that that begins to blossom and bloom and produce almonds. That is amazing. That shows, well, that throne, that new throne that is being planted and raised up is going to produce spiritually. And it's going to be where God is, and God's going to give it growth because it's transitioning into his second coming, and it indicates Christ may personally be here part of the time to do this. That is proven as well in our new booklet. Let me give you a quote here about what's going on. Well, I'll read the last part of this from the Spectator in Britain. It says, we are told that they are reinventing the concept of monarchy for the digital age and so on. He's talking about the British monarchy, but that doesn't mean it's a good idea. In 30 years' time, royal historians might look back at the Heads Together campaign, at the eager association with pop stars and the blooming romance between Prince Harry and Miss Markle, and ask, was this the moment when it all started to go wrong? Now, this is from a worldly source, and certainly not from us. And they think, well, now this really could all go wrong. Well, now that's David's throne, it was David's throne until January of last year. Now, we'll prove it to you. God says, prove all things, and we'd better be able to do it. And God says, I'll give special protection to anybody who does my work. And here he says, I will give you a new throne, and there's going to be a new stone. And it's an amazing story of how that stone came into being. which is a symbol of the throne of David and also a symbol of Jesus Christ, as I said before. Has the old royal family lost the protection of God? Well, I'll tell you this, whoever has that throne has a special protection from God, because God made a promise that it would never end. Verse 16, "And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me." Now, this is the problem. Israel has forsaken God. He's not only talking about the nations of Israel, and he really is talking about two nations, and also spiritual Israel. His own church has forsaken him, 95% of them. So God wants to see some real spiritual fruit. That's what he wants to see. Now he goes on to talk about how he's hasting all this righteousness. And Isaiah 16 talks about, well, verse 5, I'll just read that to you. "And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness." That is a time when God is protecting his church, and somebody is sitting on that throne, and it is a throne that's hasting righteousness. That has to be God's own loyal people, because only they could do that. Only they can God work through. Well, you can see that this is a fascinating development, I tell you, and everybody needs to understand this. This is about the hope of the entire world. I'll just read to you a little bit here from Genesis 49 and verse 10 to show you that the scepter, or the throne, where that throne of David is, and the law have been combined here in this final push, this final gun lap, transitioning into the very second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. Notice what it says, Genesis 49 and verse 10, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet," meaning the man would be a Jewish descendant, "until Shiloh," or Jesus Christ, "come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Verse 1 says that's going to befall you in the latter days. And you can, well, I don't have time to go through all of this, but in the booklet we will show you that that is not a good translation in Genesis 49 and verse 10. It looks like the scepter and the law is separated, but we prove to you very clearly that they are brought together. That has not been the case in the latter days until right now. Now the law and the scepter is brought together, and some man has to implement the law, which is the government of God. Now that's what really, really should excite all of us. God says in Amos 9, in verse 10 and 11, that we're supposed to raise up the ruins, and we actually have to raise up the ruins of the very throne of David, because it was, well, in a state of ruin and degeneration, and God was determined to make a change. Isaiah 22 talks about that glorious throne and all of the wonderful blessings that are going to come from that. But think about this. Here we are at a time when we're directly connected to the very second coming of Jesus Christ with this new throne and this new stone. And it is a revolutionary change, and as I said, the most inspiring single prophecy God has ever given to this church. That is something to be thankful for, and we need to realize if God gives a new stone and a new throne, that He has an amazing work that is going to be hastened, it's going to be urgent, and it's going to produce wonderfully. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
Jesus Christ will soon return to sit on the throne of the earth. Where is that throne right now? Learn how its identity has recently changed and how this truth will change the universe. Throughout the Bible, God makes many promises about a specific throne. The mighty King David ruled from the throne of God. His kingly line continues to the present day and will endure to the second coming of Jesus Christ. God has worked numerous miracles to preserve this throne for thousands of years. Until recently, God's throne belonged to the British monarchy. Request Gerald Fleury's free book, The New Throne of David, to understand the stunningly specific and accurate prophecies about this throne. Learn why God places such high importance on the throne of David. With the guidance of the Bible, you can track step by step the movements of this throne over the course of millennia. Recently, God orchestrated the most momentous movement of this throne yet. The throne of God is no longer a physical, tangible throne. God has erased and replaced this throne. God's throne must exist somewhere today, or else his promise to King David of an endless line has failed. You can prove where the spiritual throne of God is located on the earth today. Where God's throne is, you will see great works and a powerful message. The most exciting aspect of this earth-shaking truth is yet to be fulfilled. A tiny group of people possesses the throne of God today and will soon present it to Jesus Christ when he returns. You won't find a more inspiring message than this. Read Gerald Fleury's new book, The New Throne of David, for extensive proof of the whereabouts of God's throne today. You need to know where this throne is. This throne reveals where God is working today. Whoever possesses it will receive special protection from God during the coming worldwide crisis. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The New Throne of David. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The New Throne of David. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.